Fairbanks is pleased this week to have as a guest Admiral F.A. Zeusler, who is executive assistant to the president of the Alaska Steamship Company. And Admiral Zeusler is with us in the studio tonight, and I'd like to begin by asking first, Admiral Zeusler, something about your duties with the Alaska Steamship Company.
I am the executive assistant to the president of the Alaska Steamship Company, handling the coordinating of our activities, public relations, and other organizational matters.
Is this your first visit to Fairbanks?
It is not. I was here just a year ago as a member of a congressional committee to obtain data with regard to placing into effect an interim agreement.
And what is the purpose of your present trip to the interior of Alaska?
The purpose of my trip is to visit our respective officials in Alaska, contact the agents, discuss their problems with them, and to meet Alaska businessmen to obtain information that will be constructive to us and for them in working out our improved plans of operation.
And how many Alaskan communities have you visited so far on this trip?
I have contacted persons in Ketchikan, Juneau, Seward, and Anchorage, and expect to return to Juneau for a number of days and then to Ketchikan for a similar number to make plans with regard to certain changes that are now being placed into effect.
I understand, sir. Now, will you tell me something of the interim plan which you mentioned just a few seconds ago and which has been publicized so much lately?
At the present time, we are working under what is known as the interim plan, a plan that was put into effect as a result of the passage of a bill by the Congress of the United States. This plan is what we consider a probationary plan and is supervised by the Maritime Commission. Its purpose is to produce data which should be a basis for the long-range plan which is to put us back on our own. Under the present method of operating, the Maritime Commission charters each of the four carriers government-owned vessels at $1 per year. The number of vessels and the areas through which we operate was determined by an impartial board in Washington in May 1947, to which we all subscribed and which we have signed. The commission pays the maritime and war risk hull insurance on all the vessels, both government-owned and the privately-owned vessels. All costs and expenses from there on, we, the carriers, pay. If we operate at a loss, we pay. Before this occurred, the government paid the loss. If we make a profit, we cannot make over 10% before taxes are paid, which amounts to about 6% on the capital employed in the operation under the contract. If there's any profit left, a part of this goes toward the reimbursement of the commission for insurance and other costs. And of the remainder, if there is any, 75% goes for additional charter hire. The companies at the time approved an increase of 35% in rates to secure the revenue to make the plan workable. This plan at the time was the best available, and in order to succeed advantageously for all, the companies, the people in the territory, and the official family of the territory had to cooperate and work together 100%.
Admiral Zeusler, have you encountered any difficulties in the operation of the interim plan?
We have not had smooth sailing, unfortunately. Some of this was due to the fact that there was considerable misunderstanding. Other was due to the fact that the plan was not to the liking of the official family. This resulted in considerable controversies and finally in the official family petitioning the Maritime Commission to act on the rate question and other operational questions. As you probably know, the rate question was settled in our favor. Furthermore, the official family has also encouraged other outside carriers to enter the trade, which makes it very difficult for us to carry out the plan in accordance with the original instructions. At the present time, The governor has encouraged the passage of the Butler Bill, which if it passes, will practically drive American ships out of Alaska.
Will you give me some information on the cost of operation of the Alaska Steamship Company?
I'd like to begin with the shore end of it. In Alaska, longshoremen receive $1.85 per hour and overtime of $2.78.5. This is an increase of 46.6% over 1941. I have with me a payroll of the Aleutian for the month of October 1947. That shows that we had to pay the sum of $46,480.47 for this year, contrasted with $22,000 in 1939. I would like to show you a number of figures indicating the pay received by members of the crew of the vessel. For instance, the bosun, whose base pay is $217.30, received $574.12. The winch driver, who normally receives $214.65, received $540.09. The AB seaman, whose pay is $182.85, each received $526.64. In addition thereto, the chief mate received $629, and his base pay is $375. The master's pay is approximately $645. There are many cases in which crew members are receiving more than the master. Now I would like to compare the Flemish Knot, which is a freighter. This freighter cost us $21,429.80. A similar freighter, 1939, cost us $10,764.90 for the same period. On this ship, the steward received $615.32 with a basic pay of $266.15. The second cook received $508.36 with a basic pay of $210. The master received $631.36. The bosun received $694 as against the basic pay of $251.30. The winch driver received $716.75 against a base pay of $214.65, while the AB seaman received $670.73 against a base pay of $182.85. There is one other figure, that the cost of subsistence. In 1939, we paid $26.07 per meal. In 1941, we paid $0.32 per meal. And in 1947, we paid $0.75 per meal per man per day.
Those are certainly interesting figures, Admiral Zeusler. I'd like to turn the subject now to your passenger service. It so happens that my happiest memories in connection with the Alaska Steamship Company are your pre-war cruises to Alaska, and that is with a full tourist quota, those delicious meals and midnight suppers and dancing and entertainments and so on aboard ship. And I believe it certainly is a shame that more people who are in the territory cannot at least once have taken that wonderful cruise. Now, will you tell me if the Alaska Steamship Company is still offering such a service?
We have weekly service from Seattle, which vessels visit Ketchikan, Juneau, Valdez, Cordova, and Seward, and at rare intervals visit Kodiak. The service on board the ships has increased to a great advantage to all concerned. The linen is good. The food is excellent. The individual room service is outstandingly fine. I have traveled on the vessels shortly after the war ended, and the conditions were not too good. But I would like to say today the conditions are outstandingly fine, and I am very, very proud of the conditions that exist.
Well, that improvement in service, comparing the wartime years and the present time, is something that's been pointed out by numerous people I've discussed the situation with, and they say that they, too, have enjoyed the trips immensely recently. Now, turning to another subject, how about the future plans of the Alaska Steamship Company? Is there something you can tell me there?
We have submitted a plan to the Congress of the United States and also to the Maritime Commission. That plan is a comprehensive one and should be given considerable consideration. In that plan, we have asked for what is known as a certificate of convenience and necessity, which will make it possible for us to plan genuine improvement of every kind. This plan will take us from under the government operations. We have the money to purchase additional craft. We will do that if we can, if the statutory sales price is such so that the territory can bear the cost as a capital base for rate-making purposes. In other words, if the price is too high, it'll be impossible for us to purchase them, because in order to make a profit, the income would have to be much greater than it is possible to make in the territory today under the existing setup. We are working on the general plan of rebuilding the vessels that are now a part of the setup, namely the chartered vessels. We hope to improve the hold conditions. We hope to make changes in the general setup. We have already added radar and all modern equipment that is of value to the navigator. As far as the passenger ship program is concerned, we are heartily in accord with the President's Advisory Committee report on that matter, and we will be unable to do anything with that until such time as we know whether the Maritime Commission can make it possible for us to purchase ships at a nominal sum. In other words, that means a subsidy will be necessary. However, we are in a position to operate the ships that we have on a normal schedule until such time as the Congress makes possible the new ships.
Time is fleeting now, Admiral Zeusler, but can you tell me something briefly of the Jones Act and the Coastwise Passenger Act and possible suggestions for modification?
The Jones Act is an act which makes it mandatory, if enacted, to open up the trade to foreign vessels. The recent record of the rate hearing shows that foreign vessels operated about 50% of the cost of American vessels. If that bill is passed, or that section of the bill is passed, it'll practically wipe out the passenger traffic in Alaska. Now, the second portion of the bill pertains to the carriage of freight. The United States government, ever since its inception, has insisted that the carriage of freight be in the American bottoms. And if this amendment were to come to pass, it would also mean that it would be impossible for American ships to compete. It is absolutely necessary from the viewpoint of military necessity and also from the viewpoint of the economy of Alaska that American ships continue to carry the freight for this big country. I would like to give just a few figures. The American ships in the Alaska trade practically made possible our forward movement in the war.
Well, thank you ever so much, Admiral Zeusler. We certainly have enjoyed this quarter-hour discussion with you, and we hope that you'll come up to the studio again when you again visit Fairbanks. Friends, you've listened to an interview with Admiral F.A. Zeusler, Executive Assistant to the President of the Alaska Steamship Company.